was a study that put people on a whole food menu versus an ultra-processed menu. Same calories, and the ultra-processed group ate 500 more calories a day and gained weight. Let's strip the confusion away and talk about what whole food actually means and how to start a whole food approach to eating healthy.
Welcome to Current Thoughts. I'm your host, Jay, alongside my beautiful wife and co-host, Dee. And this podcast is where we have in-depth conversations about topics that matter to us, and hopefully to you too. Last episode, we discussed how the rules keep changing, how reading labels is confusing, and how our food supply has shifted over the years. Today, we are going to discuss a whole food approach to eating healthy, what it is, why it helps, and how to get started. But first, what counts as a whole food and what doesn't?
Whole foods are foods close to their natural form. Veggies, fruit, plain yogurt, eggs, fish, meat, beans, lentils, nuts, and whole grains.
And yes, minimally processed still counts. So rinsed, chopped, frozen, or plain canned versions are fine. A bag of frozen broccoli, still broccoli.
Right. On the flip side, though, ultra-processed foods are products built from refined starches, added sugars, industrial oils, and additives that make them super tasty and last forever.
There's an easy way to sort it out without counting carbs or fat. It's called NOVA. Four groups based on how much a factory had to do to your food.
Let's take a look at group one. Group one is unprocessed or minimally processed. The as-is stuff. Fresh or frozen fruit and vegetables, plain meat, fish, eggs, plain milk or yogurt, oats, rice, and nuts.
And group two is processed culinary ingredients. Think of the cooking helpers like olive oil, butter, sugar, salt, vinegar, starches. You cook with these.
And the third group is processed foods, short ingredient recipes. Bread that's just flour, water, yeast, salt, canned fish in oil, canned veggies with salt, plain tofu, a few ingredients that you could make at home.
And group four is the ultra-processed foods. These are factory formulas with long ingredient lists with things you don't cook with at home. Think of flavorings, colorings, emulsifiers, artificial sweeteners, refined starches and sugars. Think of like sodas, breakfast cereals, packaged snacks, cakes and chips, instant noodles, chicken nuggets, a lot of protein bars and shakes, and even some plant-based meats.
The list seems to go on and on.
It does.
So the big idea, the more ultra-processed a food is, the easier it is to overeat, and the more it crowds out fiber and micronutrients.
So the NOVA system is a simple compass. You want to fill most of your plate with group one, use group two to cook, lean on group three as helpers, and keep group four as sometimes or try to eliminate them altogether.
Here's a quick grocery aisle test. Flip the label. Long list with words like maltodextrin, carrageenan, polysorbate, artificial flavors, sweeteners, likely these are in group four. Short list you recognize probably in group three or group one if it's a simple ingredient. Ask yourself, could I make this at home with the same stuff? If no, then it's likely ultra-processed foods.
So people like the NOVA system because it's common sense. No macro math, and it keeps the focus on food quality, more real food, less factory food.
So to keep it fair, NOVA is a blunt tool. Not all ultra-processed foods are equally bad, and some fortified or medical products can be helpful. And context matters. Budget, access, culture, and health needs.
If all of this seems too complex, an easy rule to follow for eating more whole foods is to aim for foods your grandparents would recognize. And save the science experiment snacks for a once in a while kind of food.
Yeah, it gets so super confusing. So why does eating more whole foods help in real life, not just on paper?
Well, we're going to uncover a study that actually delves into that. So as you mentioned earlier in the opening, there was a science study, and it's shown that eating ultra-processed foods drives overeating, equals a worse long-term outcome on average, and cooking more at home is linked with better diet quality.
Okay, so with overeating, in the study, people were fed a whole food menu and an ultra-processed menu that were matched on paper for protein, fat, carbs, fiber, and the same calories available.
But when the folks could eat as much as they wanted, the ultra-processed group ate about 500 extra calories per day and gained weight. Same nutrients on paper, different results in real life.
So the reason why people overate and gained weight was because of the ultra-processed foods that are engineered to be super tasty, easy to chew, and a quick bite. So it's easy to blow past the I'm satisfied part and continue eating.
And in regards to long-term outcomes, studies following large groups find that higher ultra-processed intake is linked to a higher risk of serious health problems and dying younger. It's association, not proof, but the pattern shows up again and again.
And home cooking? People who cook more at home typically eat fewer ultra-processed foods and have better quality diets. Again, association, not proof, but it's a helpful nudge towards group one foods.
Bottom line, you don't need perfection to get the benefits. Just tilt your plate towards more real food more often.
Okay, so how do we start eating more whole foods without spending all day or all of our money?
Well, let's start with smart swaps you'll actually do.
So for breakfast, for instance, flavored yogurt, don't eat it. Buy plain yogurt and fruit and drizzle some honey on it. That's a better option.
And for lunch, for example, for a side, instead of getting chips, opt for carrot sticks and hummus.
And for your dinner side, box macaroni and cheese, which I gotta say is one of my favorites. Quick stovetop mac, no packet, just noodles and shredded cheese, maybe a splash of milk or a little butter, or swap in steamed canned veggies or a slice of fruit.
And for budget and time tips, you can use frozen or canned. Just look for no added sugar or sodium when it comes to canned vegetables or canned fruit.
And no syrup either.
Correct. No syrup as well. And they're just as nutritious, cheaper, and they have less waste as well.
Keep your added sugars around 10% of calories, 50 grams a day on a 2,000 calorie diet. Check the added sugars line on the label. That's very important.
And be careful with drinks, because drinks are pretty sneaky. You got sweet teas, you got coffees, smoothies. All of those can eat at the budget fast. But water, sparkling water, or lightly sweetened coffee and tea helps.
Here's a 10-minute dinner formula. Protein plus plant plus starch or extra plant. Rapid fire examples. Eggs, sautéed frozen spinach, and toast. Or a rotisserie chicken with some frozen veggie and a microwave potato.
And here's some time savers. Cook once, eat twice. Think extra rice, extra beans, extra chicken. It can make more than one meal. Also, sheet pan nights. So you can take a pan, put those some veggies on it, some chicken thighs, roast them in the oven, and you're done. Or your microwave, your air fryer, and your Instant Pot, those are all your friend. Your microwave, you can microwave potatoes, frozen veggies, rice pouches, air fryer, you can do chicken, finishing ribs from the Instant Pot, you can do your ribs, you can do a whole chicken, rice, lentils.
Right, we do this all the time. It makes for easy cooking. You're not cooking every single day.
What about some snacks?
So for snacks, you can do apples and peanut butter, Greek yogurt and berries, cottage cheese if you like cottage cheese and pineapple. Could do nuts and fruit and air popped popcorn. No butter.
Well, you can add butter after.
Yes, you can add butter, but don't get buttered popcorn.
Correct. So now let's clear up a few common myths so you don't stress over the wrong things.
Myth number one, whole foods are always more expensive. Sometimes that's true, but sometimes it's not. Frozen or canned often costs less than fresh and still counts. Plan around sales, buy basics in bulk, and reduce your waste.
Myth number two, frozen produce isn't healthy. And the reality is frozen is usually picked ripe and can match fresh for many nutrients. It also cuts waste and saves time.
And another one is carbs are bad, even whole food carbs, which is not true. Whole food carbs like fruit, potatoes, oats, beans come with fiber and nutrients. Portions and context matter. Pair with a protein or a fat and a fiber for steadier energy.
Myth number four, if it isn't organic, it isn't healthy. And reality is, organic or not, eating more whole foods, especially plants, beats a diet of heavy ultra-processed foods. Don't forget to wash your produce either way.
Right. And you have to be perfect? No. Small, consistent swaps beat short, strict sprints. Progress is better than perfection.
Okay, so now let's take a look at some of the biggest pros and cons of a whole food approach. So let's start with the pros. So it helps reduce overeating and mindless snacking. It provides you with more fiber, protein, fewer hyperpalatable additives. It's more nutrient dense, which means it has more vitamins, minerals, and fiber. It's flexible, so it works for omnivores, vegetarians, and everything in between. So eating whole foods can be budget-friendly when you use frozen or canned, cook simple meals, and reduce waste.
So let's go over a few cons. It takes a bit more planning, shopping, and basic cooking. Boy, do I know this. It takes a lot longer to shop than normally. You're not just going down the grocery store aisle and picking up a box here and a box there and getting through the grocery store fast. You're looking at labels and trying to plan out your meals as well. Your social setting and travel can make it harder because you're trying to eat a little healthier. You're not just picking up that fast food that's super simple. So some items, fresh berries, certain cuts of meat can be pricey if they're out of season. And you still have to read labels and navigate the aisles.
So let's recap. Whole foods are foods that are close to natural form as possible, while ultra-processed foods are made from refined ingredients and additives. On a whole food approach to eating healthy, you want to eat more whole foods and eliminate or eat less of the ultra-processed foods.
And science supports this whole foods approach, and by doing so, you can prevent overeating and live healthier and longer than someone eating ultra-processed foods.
Just start simple by replacing foods with complex, unrecognizable ingredients, and instead eat foods with less ingredients and the ones that you recognize. If you're on a budget, using frozen or canned backups can be a good option. So this show shares our personal experiences and general information. We're not doctors, and this is not medical advice.
Diets that cut food groups aren't right for everyone and can affect cholesterol, blood sugar, digestion, and medications. Use today's episode as ideas to discuss with your doctor. Next time, we'll look into the low-carb and keto diet, what it is, the pros and cons, who it helps, who struggles with it, and how to test it safely.
Well, that's it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed this discussion and found some value in it. We'd love to hear what your thoughts on today's topic are, so drop us a comment and let us know. And if you enjoy our conversations, consider subscribing to the podcast on whatever platform you listen on.
From both of us here at Current Thoughts, thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with another honest conversation. Till then, stay curious, stay open, and stay real.